Welcome to The Connection,
a podcast to connect you to the parish of Yates and Froomside Benefice.
My name is Howell.
And I'm Justin.
We are your hosts, sharing with you the connection between faith and everyday living.
Episode of The Connection, we're going to look at the film Up.
That's right, because it's November and everything is dying outside. It's all looking very miserable in
it's
November.
It's very bleak in November, isn't it?
It's just you're driving in the morning and it's just wet. It's wet and all the trees are losing their leaves or have lost them. And it's getting cold and your feet are getting miserable and it's getting dark. So
we thought Up would cheer you up.
That's the thing, yeah.
That is it.
And the church has always used November as a time to reflect upon this idea of loss and darkness. Yeah. And it's the time where we think about remembrance.
Yes.
And also as well remembering our loved ones, which is why we're thinking about Up.
Yeah.
Because it's a film all about loss, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when people are a little bit unclued up on what Disney films are, most people say, Up, isn't that the one with the balloons? And you would say, yes, that's right. But actually, if you've watched it, and hopefully you have, you've got a bit of an understanding that it is more than just a film about balloons and a house. It actually has got quite a lot of many different storylines entwined with each other.
Yeah, I'll admit this, and it's a bit embarrassing. It's one of the very few films. I think it's just one or two films that ever touched me emotionally. I was like, oh, getting a bit soppy on that. But that's only two of them.
Okay,
I think the other one was Terminator 2. I'm not sure. but it's a really deeply charged film, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. So it kicks off with the idea that we start looking into the couple's life, which starts off as a childhood romance, or just friendship.
Yeah, they're just two kids, and they both are really interested in adventures. You know? They want to go on an adventure, and they love this explorer who's been to Paradise Falls, and that's their mission in life, is to go together to Paradise Falls, isn't it? It's really quite sweet, that.
And then we kind of fast forward their journey. They spend their entire life together, saving up to go to Paradise Falls. They buy a house. They have a plan to create a family, which is then starts to then get a bit sad, because I think we learn that they can't have children, and then they have to spend their money that they keep saving. But eventually, the tickets are purchased to go to Paradise Falls, and then it's another sad scene where sickness becomes a problem, and then shortly dies, and it's all very sad. But
Ellie, Mr. Fredrickson's wife, dies. Ellie,
yes,
and just at the moment where eventually they were going to get to Paradise Falls, and that sends Mr. Fredrickson into a kind of spiral of despair and depression, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, and then that's the character, isn't it? The grumpy old man in Up. I mean, we can see why he's got to that point. He is a sad man, and he's just very sad with his loss. And, you know, we can put it into context, because we get to hear about his life story up to that point. And so he's now living in the house that he purchased with his wife, Ellie, and is deeply sad with his loss.
And around him, the builders are moving in and they're trying to move him out, and he won't move. He's stuck in the house. Yes. And he will not move, and he spends all his time shouting at the builders, being grumpy with them. And then this character comes along who's what's he called? It's a Russell, isn't it?
Russell, the Boy Scout, isn't it?
Wilderness Explorer. Explorer. So he wants to get a badge, doesn't he, by helping him.
Yes. So he kind of picks on Mr. Fredrickson as his candidate. He's going to go and do something for him.
Bob a job.
Bob a job. Yeah, remember those days. but very driven by adventure, which I guess, you know, even if he took 2 seconds to listen to him, Ellie was all about adventure. And suddenly he was at the door wanting to create more adventure and living in the outback and camping and all of that. So he was absolutely driven on trying to be as helpful as possible.
Yeah, so what happens then is the house gets filled with balloons.
Yes.
And floats off, and they decide to go to Paradise Falls.
It's a warm way to get there, isn't it?
It is. It's a very inventive way.
He gets to keep the house, and he enjoys it. He's floating away with a hot air balloon, with many different balloons, in fact, to get to Paradise Falls.
And Russell, the wilderness explorer, then stows away, doesn't he?
Yeah, one of our favourite scenes, isn't it? That he looks out the door to appreciate the view and finds him standing on the porch, looking rather scared.
Because he stows his feet in the air.
Yes.
That's the thing, is that as you move through, is that this their friendship in this film, which really sort of comes across, and it's a friendship that Mr. Fredrickson, the grumpy old man, really doesn't want to have. He doesn't want to have friends. He just wants to be on his own in the house, being grumpy.
Yes, absolutely. You see that a lot, don't you? I think we can all relate to maybe that grumpy old man, and maybe we've all been like that as listeners listening to this podcast. That maybe we've been a bit too grumpy, but there are characters in our community that kind of fits that bill, that no matter how much, as a Christian or even just a neighbour, you try and show some grace and try and step through and help them, they consistently are quite grumpy.
That's right, yeah. I think we've all come across that. Maybe someone's dad, like, we'll be a grumpy dads one day, won't we? we will fit the archetype, isn't it?
Yes. So the film kind of continues through that journey, really, where they have an adventure, don't they? Let's be honest. They meet up with this character. I can't remember his name, but somebody that they admired as a hero. And they have a bit of an adventure. There's talking dogs involved. I mean, the story gets more and more crazy. But the overarching element is that there's this old man and this young lad who are thrown into this adventure, where I think after a while he starts to really appreciate the lad.
Yeah, bit by bit. Mr. Fredrickson, love him, comes out of himself, and gradually he physically changes. He throws away his stick. He doesn't need his stick with the tennis balls on anymore.
Oh, yes.
And he gradually, the joy that enters his life makes him physically, and this is the magic of the animation, he physically looks different, doesn't he, as well?
He does, yeah. His posture, his demeanour, his confidence. I mean, we start on the film, he's just rattling around this old dusty house. And by the end of the film, he's thrown himself in like an athlete at some of these adventures that he's throwing himself into. I mean, he was remarkable. I mean, I wish I could do that in his age, you know. I know he's a cartoon, but...
Well, yeah. But I think that's the thing, is that the change that comes is from this persistence, really, of the wilderness explorer to cajole him, really, into coming out of that grumpy phase, out of himself.
Yes.
And rediscovering the joy of life, really, isn't it? That's the thing.
And that's an important thing, isn't it, for us to recognise that sometimes we follow a journey, be it to Paradise Falls, and sometimes we've got two routes. We can either follow the route being quite grumpy or follow the route with as much joy as we can soak up. So with that in mind, how does that story even fit into the Bible? Where can we find some context that kind of really supports that kind of methodology, that thought process that we've got with this story?
Well, I think the obvious one really is with the book of Exodus.
Okay.
Is in the book of Exodus, we have the Israelites who are in slavery in Egypt. And what happens is they're freed by Moses and the 10 plagues that they put on to Pharaoh, and they escape Pharaoh into the wilderness.
Okay.
And usually the films and stuff kind of stop there, like Prince of Egypt and the Ten Commandments. Like, okay, they're in the wilderness, that's fine. Here's the Ten Commandments that God's given you. Brilliant. That's the end. But really, that's just the kind of opening bit, really, of the whole Exodus story. Because even though God has freed them from slavery,
yeah,
all the way through the rest of the book, all they want to do is not go forward towards the promised land. They all want to go back to Egypt,
okay,
to live in slavery again.
Okay, okay.
So if we think about, there's a famous story when Moses goes up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and when he comes back down, the people of Israel are worshipping a golden calf.
Right, okay.
Now you're thinking, well, why is that a problem? That's a bit weird. But the golden calf is an Egyptian god.
Okay.
So the reason that they were doing that is they wanted to go back to being slaves.
Okay. Okay.
They wanted to go back into that. And I think in Up, we have this tension all the time that Mr. Fredrickson spent so long locked within himself.
Yes.
In his despair because of the pain of the loss of his wife.
Yeah.
And the disappointment he didn't go to Paradise Falls.
Yeah.
That it becomes almost like a kind of comfortable place, really.
Yeah, that's the danger, isn't it? I think when you are locked into that emotion or just a way of life, to make that change, to step out of your comfort zone, sometimes is the single most scariest thing to do. And I think here we are, where grumpiness was so easy for him that it basically consumed his life. I mean, at one point, I think there was a point where he got so cross and so angry because the house was still under threat from the builders, that there was a to-do with the letterbox, or the thing they have in America, is that kind of the box they have there. And I think he thrashed out, and I think that was one of those realizations that he got so grumpy that he couldn't recognize himself.
Yeah, that's right. It just becomes who he is. And I think what we see in the book of Exodus as well is the persistence of God.
Yes.
And that's a bit like with Russell, that he's very persistent.
Yes.
And that's just like God in the book of Exodus,
yeah,
is that despite all the mistakes that the people of Israel make, worshipping the golden calf, kicking off against God, saying he's rubbish, asking continually to go back to Egypt, God doesn't give up on them. He continually, through his grace and his calling,
yes,
asks them and cajoles them, really, to go to the promised land.
Amazing how you can find that in a film about a balloon in a house floating. But it's important to recognise that those behaviours can easily be changed by that persistence of something else. And I think calling to church and stepping out of your comfort zone and coming along to church, or just engaging with a community event that's run by the church, sometimes can be the first of many small steps to maybe change the way that you live your life.
Yeah.
And if that is moving from being grumpy to being joyful, then that's great. But it might not even have to be as monumental as that. It may be just a changing your rhythm of life, so you start to do other things.
Yeah, I think it's to do with the idea that God is not a one-chance sort of guy.
Mm.
You know, he isn't the person who calls you once and then thinks, okay, fine, that's it, you've made your choice, you've had it. God is like the wilderness explorer scout in this, who continually, even though he's rejected time and time and time again,
yes,
by Mr. Fredrickson, sometimes with violence, he continually calls. And I think that's, you know, not just in the book of Exodus, that's all the way through the Bible, where, you know, with St. Peter, where he denies Jesus, and then after Jesus resurrected, Jesus still calls Peter, even though he's betrayed him, even though he's let him down. And there's that persistence, really, and faithfulness of God, wanting us to be different people, really, be the people we were created to be.
Yes, and having that realization that you've always been given permission to be that person, haven't you? You know, you don't. Sometimes we make decisions that make us follow a wrong route, but actually, you know, our Lord, our God is always there to direct us when we want it. And I think that was one of the good things in the film, I think, is when roles started reversing, where actually sometimes, you know, here is this wilderness scout. He was at times feeling a little bit sad himself, and actually the roles slightly reversed a little bit there, which was great to see.
Yeah, it's a double relationship, isn't it?
And I think that allowed him to have that moment where he realised that actually the adventure that he's been so seekingly to try to achieve at Paradise Falls, he has already been living it.
Oh, this is the bit that made me, made me cry, but touched me emotionally, right?
Yeah.
Is right at the end, because he's got that adventure book that him and Ellie have put together, which is all their dreams of what they would do. And he felt as though he'd let his wife down by not being able to take her to Paradise Falls.
Yes.
But when he actually looked at the adventure book, he only saw the first few pages. And then he turns the page and he realises that as far as Ellie's wife was concerned, their life together was that great adventure.
Yes.
And that was just like, oh, because it shows that we only value things of true value when they've gone. We always take stuff for granted, don't we?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, we live our life sometimes with blinkers on, not really seeing the good things that we are living every day. We're always driven to try and achieve the end result, when actually the journey to the end result is predominantly the journey that you should be celebrating. And I think, you know, appreciating every day and every moment of our life is something to remind us all that's essential.
Yeah, and that takes us to what we were thinking about in November, really, about this sense of loss. We did All Souls a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Where we invite people who've lost someone this year to come back and to give thanks for that person's life.
Yes.
And to light the candle for that person. And really, I often use up for people who are suffering bereavement to say, look, you know, this bereavement is a journey that you kind of have to go on. You can't dodge it, you know. But in going through that journey, there is healing and redemption at the end. You know, your life can get better even though you're in despair at the moment, really.
Yeah.
And what we find often, and this is something we can learn from those who have lost and from our own sense of loss as well, is when somebody goes, the thing that you miss is not the big things. Mm. It's not the holiday to Disneyland or the big moments or any of that. It's always the little things, the day-to-day things. So what Up shows really clearly is that joy is found in the everyday, not in the big events. And especially with those around us, is we get so used to things and we're not thankful enough for those around us and things around us that, you know, we can go through life without realizing that we're on the adventure. If that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah. It does. It's a good way of reflecting on life and good way of looking at, and November is about that, isn't it? Is looking for the light in the darkness that is, because it is very dark out there now. It's a little bit too early for Christmas lights in people's houses, and it is dark. And I think it's quite nice for us here at The Connection is to look at some of that darkness that eats into our lives and try and find some of the lightness, which is celebrating and being thankful of the things that we experience every day and like you said, the things that we miss sometimes.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a bit like, as an example for bereavement, really, is my lad was putting Christmas songs on his phone ready for December the other day, and I told him, you're not allowed to play Christmas songs yet because it's still November, right? He's like, no, I'm not, I'm pulling my phone. But he sneakily put on Slade, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. And I said, don't play that one now, don't play it. And he said, why is that? And I said, that's the song that made us cry the other year. And she was like, and he was like, why? And the reason that it made us cry, the Slade song, quite a few years ago now, is my uncle died quite young. Mm. And he was a bit of a, to describe him now, eccentric, put it that way.
Okay.
He's what's known in Aberdeen as an Edda. Okay. Right? Yeah, he's a bit mental, really. And his Christmas party piece was, when that song came on, he used to jump on the tables and have a big dance.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, and we used to go and watch the rugby with him and, okay. and all of that.
Okay, fond memories.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. But what happened was, is over the years, I'm now able to look back with a smile
yes.
of thanksgiving
okay.
rather than that sense of loss.
Yeah,
so okay. just like in Up,
yes.
Is to way at the end, he looks through his life, realising it's an adventure, and he's yeah. able to, that adventure to bring him joy.
Yes.
While at the beginning of the film, it's just despair.
Yeah.
And I think the answer with it is to is that sense of thankfulness for those we've loved and lost is the best way, I think, to get that perspective and to receive the healing at the end, you know, on the journey of bereavement, like. So I think it's a fantastic film to watch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So many things to take from it. So guys, go out there. If you've not watched it, then it's guaranteed to be around Christmas time as a rerun. But either way, get yourself in front of the telly with your family at this difficult, dark time and put on Up, and it's guaranteed to make you smile and appreciate some of the finer things in life. We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode.
And don't forget, you can get in contact with us on Facebook and on Twitter.
And we're also find us on Instagram.
Oh, yes, Instagram, yes. And on our website, which is yateparish.org. And don't forget, this is an interactive show, so we really value your comments. So put your comments on SoundCloud or any other platform that you're listening to, and we'll get back to you.